Well, it's good to be back with you tonight. I was in Honduras last week, and it's good to be back in the States. Yes, it is. But I'll be leaving again soon to go to Berlin. But I'll be back, Lord willing. Maybe I'll just stay. I don't know. No, I won't. I won't stay. There's too many wonderful things here for me. One being you, the Rock. So I wouldn't leave like that. You know, tonight I thought I'd finish this series I started a few weeks ago, Why Is It So Hard to Believe? And I thought I would share with you tonight what I believe is the number one reason why it's so hard to believe. It's the hardest thing, actually. The hardest thing. And that is the waiting. I don't think there's anything more difficult in the Christian life than waiting. There's the suffering, but the suffering wouldn't be nearly so bad if it wasn't so long. If it wasn't that we had to wait so long. I look back over the last 35 years of my life, and just about every single thing that God has done in my life has involved a very, very, very long wait. And not usually measured in weeks or months, but usually by years. There's a few passages in the scripture that I wanted to read to you this evening that relate to this. The first is found in Psalm chapter 2. The psalmist says, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long?" How long, the implication, the implied rest of the sentence is, "How long, O Lord? How long do I have to wait? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." This is the Amplified Bible's, the rendering of this passage. "Have mercy on me and be gracious to me, Lord, for I am weak, faint, and withered away. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My inner self, as well as my body, is exceedingly disturbed and troubled. But you, O Lord, how long until you return and speak peace to me? Return to my relief, O Lord. Deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love and mercy." You know, sometimes as a Christian, to be honest, I think we get the wrong impression of Christianity all the time. Somehow, when you have guys like, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but if you do, you'll just have to deal with it. You get these guys like Joel Osteen, Mr. Smiley, every Sunday morning. And he's writing his book, Live Your Best Life Now. And he's got 20, 30,000 people sitting in his auditorium at the Staples Center down in Texas. And I happen to know a person who did a study on the church, and the vast majority of them, 90%, are sheep from other churches that just decided to come to his church. And he's always smiling all the time and telling you how much God is going to do all these beautiful things in your life, and God don't want you to suffer, and God didn't have any problems for you, and live your best life now, and if you believe you can achieve, and just stay positive and keep that smile on your face. And somehow this guy just doesn't compute when I read Psalm chapter 6. "How long will you forget me, Lord? How long must I suffer in this misery? How long my bones are in agony? My soul is in anguish." I don't know. It just never seems like the guy's ever in anguish. I just do not relate to what I consider at times to be a false or phony brand of Christianity. I see so much of Christianity today as more like self-help pop psychology with a little God thrown in there for good measure. Listen to some of the rest of these verses from the Psalms. This is the Psalm of David, 13. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" Do you know how long it was that David's enemies had the upper hand? 13 years of his life. That's living your best life now. Running like a wild dog. Living in caves while Saul and his army chased him down. Made his life a living hell. So where was God? So where was this great, you know, positive, everything's just going to go great life because you're a Christian? Well, the fact is that Christianity's been misrepresented by an awful lot of people that you see on television. Not everybody, but a lot. Great, gross misrepresentation of the reality of what it means to try to follow God. And so, when you see that sometimes, that representation, and then you look at your own reality, and you're thinking to yourself, I'm struggling to believe. Something must be wrong with me. No, nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong. And so what the devil does is he plays a false guilt trip on you. And you start to feel really bad. Well, I have doubts. And I'm struggling with my faith. This was David, the man of God, accusing God of forgetting him. How long, God, are you going to forget me? How long are you going to look the other way? Where are you? How long are you going to leave me in this anguish? Psalm 35, how long, O Lord, will you look on and do nothing? Rescue me from their fierce attacks. Protect my life from these lions. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Well, that sounds like a place of abundance. You watch Mac Hammond on TV, send in that seed money, and God will just pour out blessing on your life. David lived in an awful lot of difficult stuff for a long time. And to be honest, you read the Bible, you don't get much more blessed than David. David was a man after the heart of God. God said, he was my man. And yet, David had tremendous struggles at times with his faith. And he wondered, where are you, God? I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. Oh, Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. How long must I wait? When will you punish those who persecute me? For I am waiting for you, O Lord. You must answer me, O Lord, my God. Here's another in Psalm 69. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. I'm going to tell you something. Now, I've been following the Lord for 35 years. I don't mean just, you know, some days I follow Him, some days I don't. I don't mean, you know, just kind of compromise a couple days and then I'm going to get serious a couple days. I mean seriously following Christ for 35 years. And this verse has been a reality in my life many times, but especially in these last 6 years. There's been other times in my life that I've been exhausted from crying for help. My throat literally is parched. I can hardly talk. And my eyes are swollen from weeping. Waiting, waiting, waiting for God to act. And having no other recourse. If He doesn't act, I'm in trouble. If He doesn't come through, I'm in trouble. And yet, God leaves us there in the wait. There is nothing more difficult in the Christian life than waiting. And waiting. And waiting some more. When you have this great need and you have these real desires that you're asking God to come through, you're praying, you're seeking, and you have a great need, you need God's relief, and you're praying and you're waiting. I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. How long must I wait? It was about 3 months ago. Today's March. Might have been four and a half. We were going through, my wife and I and my daughter at the time. Oh my gosh. The most horrific, horrific, horrific time in her whole illness that in these 6 years. I mean, it was awful. And my wife and I remember this one particular night. We were just collapsed on the living room floor at the same time, sobbing our eyes out, begging God to stop, begging God to stop, begging God to stop. It just seemed like everything in our life is going to be obliterated. Our marriage, our family, our lives, like we were just going to die in this trial. And we tried so many things. And we just, you know, brought Jessica home in September after 3 weeks in the hospital. It was October, and then it was November, and her diarrhea continued for 55 days. And we'd gone to the emergency room, and we tried this, and we tried that, and we'd taken, quite frankly, abusive meanness from the medical community, from the doctors who were blaming us that she had diarrhea, come to find out it was all the meds they put her on. And then the meds they put her on altered her. I didn't even know who she was. And my wife and I, day after day, are crying out to God for deliverance. Crying out. We've been crying out for years. We have thousands of people crying out. Where was God? Why wasn't God responding? I find such tremendous comfort in the Bible, reading about the Bible people, these people who got recorded in God's book. They went through the same kinds of things. You're not odd. You're not weird. You're not a God lover if you go through these kinds of things or feel these things. They're normal. Even though we wish they weren't, they're normal in the course of following God. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. My life has been blown away like a shepherd's tent in a storm. Now, you may have never seen a shepherd's tent, but if maybe you've watched Channel 2 or you've seen people climbing Mount Everest and they go to their base camp and those winds come up and their tent's just blown away and they're left there. Either the tent blew off of them or they're still inside and it's collapsed on them and they're in that sleeping bag. It has been cut short, my life, as when a weaver cuts cloth from a loom. Suddenly, my life was over. I waited patiently all night, but I was torn apart as though by a lion. Suddenly, my life felt over. Delirious, I chattered like a swallow or a crane, and then I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew tired of looking to heaven for help. I am in trouble, Lord. Help me. I am in trouble, Lord. Help me. Now, there's good news, and I want to share some of that with you tonight, but I wanted to start off by just very honestly telling you the most difficult thing in the Christian life, the most difficult. You know, there's suffering, but it's if suffering was just for a day, if suffering, frankly, was like a woman in childbirth, and you knew it was going to be over in 4 hours or 10 hours or 24, or they could take the baby cesarean. Yep, there's pain. I'm not minimizing a woman's pain, but listen. There's pretty strong drugs they can give you, pretty strong shots they can give you, and then it's over. The difficulty when we follow Christ is that not only is there suffering, but often the suffering or the delayed response of God or the relief that we need, God decides in His wisdom and in His goodness, even though it does not seem, it becomes obscure to us. It's the waiting and the waiting and the waiting and the waiting. And the longer it goes, the more we wonder, do you really love me, God? Do you really care? Because when I love somebody, if they were suffering this long, I wouldn't delay. I would try to help them. And all of a sudden, doubts start to fill our mind and they flood our mind. They flood our mind. So difficult to hang on. Now, I have a little advantage, not a big advantage, but a little advantage in that I am old enough, frankly, to be most of your father in this room. I've been following Christ longer than most of you have been alive. And so I can look back on my journey. And I have a book, in fact, at home in which I write the God stories and I date them. And I have many, many, many times in my life where, yes, I waited, I suffered, I prayed, I kept waiting, I suffered, I prayed, and it got difficult. And yet, finally God answered. And finally God came through and finally God brought relief. And I can look back now on many of those stories. And when my night gets very, very black, and when things get very, very dark, I can look back on those stories. And I can remember, like the Old Testament believer, I can remember God's miracles of old. God does come through. And yet sometimes, even that seems almost like a solar eclipse. And the sun is just blocked out and it just seems so black. Now I'd like to share with you what has helped me most in the waiting, even though I honestly tell you, I'm human and I'm frail. And there's times, especially this last 6 months, that I really thought at times, like, Lord, all is lost. I felt a little bit like Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations when he said, Lord, I can never forget this awful time. I can never forget this awful time. Yet I have this one ray of hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. His mercies never fail. Great is His faithfulness. And just like that little tiny, I got to that point. I got to that point where it's just this little itty bitty tiny ray of hope. There were other times, and I'll share this maybe in the future, that like the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. In case you ever wonder, does God's people ever want to die? Is it ever right for a Christian to ever want to die? Or is it normal? Not so much is it right, but is it normal? Read 1 Kings 19. Elijah, God's great prophet. After all these amazing things, he's a little bit like Gandalf in the movie Lord of the Rings. Picture Gandalf, you got Elijah. Supernatural, man of God. And yet he walks 80 miles, fleeing from a woman's threats. And then he walks a day alone into the desert. Elijah knew better and probably from the text took no food with him or water and really wanted to die. And he sat down under a tree and said, Lord, kill me. Just kill me. Just kill me. My life has been meaningless. Yes, Christians can get to a point that they feel that. In the last 6 months, there were times I sat down in my chair and I just said, God, just kill me. Just take me home. Just be done with all of this. Take my wife, take me, take my daughter. Just take us. And yet I had that one ray of hope that God, I know you're able. I know you're capable, but I don't know why. I don't know why you haven't. And here's what I would hang on to. In Psalm 89. When everything else seemed to fail in my life, and I know this is going to seem odd, the only thing left is God. The only thing left to hang on to is God. God Himself. Who God is. And the psalmist says in Psalm 89, I will sing of the tender mercies of the Lord forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, I have made a solemn agreement with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. I will establish your descendants forever. All heavens will praise your miracles, Lord. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all of heaven can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than those who surround his throne. O Lord God Almighty, where is there anyone as mighty as you, Lord? Faithfulness is your very character. Faithfulness. God is faithful. There's a verse in the New Testament, the book of Timothy. And it says this. When we are faithless, yet He is faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. It's kind of like asking the sun not to be hot. It's an impossibility. It's a scientific impossibility for the sun to be anything but hot. Now, and I'm talking about if you're right up to the sun. I realize that with the rotation of the earth and all that, our distance changes from the sun and our days get shorter and we feel colder. But the sun has not changed. We're just more distant from it. The earth is tilted on its axis, but the sun is the same. It's hot. And if you flew into it, or even if you stared at it, you would go blind from its radiant heat and its brightness. No matter who you are, the unprotected eye, you stare at it, you go blind. God says, it's very interesting, in this passage, He uses nature in verse 37. And I want to read this to you. As the eternal, He says, David's dynasty will go on forever. His throne is secure as the sun, as eternal as the moon, my faithful witness in the sky. My faithful witness in the sky. It's interesting. No matter how long man has lived on this planet, I don't know if this has ever dawned on you, if you ever thought about this before, but the surface of the earth has changed. Erosion, time, rain, earthquakes, every relationship you have has changed. The economy in this country has changed. The government changed. Everything changes. The sun and the moon have not changed since God made them. They're there. Always the same. Always burning bright. At night, the moon. The day, the sun. And every day you get out of bed, every single day, you can count on the fact that even if there's clouds in the sky and you are unable to see it, you have the confident assurance that the sun is there. God gave us those two witnesses as an example. They don't even compare to God, but as an example. I am like those things. My faithfulness, who I am, you can count on me. In time, you will see me act. This is why the scripture says to us in Galatians, therefore do not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, you'll reap if you don't give up. Or one of my favorites in Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you receive the promised blessing. Don't throw away your confidence. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? For me, sometimes my confidence has been so shaken. So shaken. And yet God promises to come through. Isaiah says, Isaiah 33, but Lord, be merciful to us, for we have waited for you. Be our strong arm each day and our salvation in times of trouble. For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for Him. Micah 7:7, as for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. God works for those who wait for Him. I got to tell you, today, I know that many of you have been praying. I don't have time to share the whole story tonight, but I want to give you just a little bit. Today was an unbelievable day for our family. My daughter spent January 8th to the next 49 days in the hospital this year, 2010. Her longest period yet. It was her fifth hospital stay. And it was very, very, very difficult. We were all at the point of complete and utter exhaustion. My wife, I sent her as soon as we had the ambulance take us to the hospital on that Sunday. She went on a Friday. Kathy went to San Diego for 3 weeks. She was completely exhausted. She got a lot of sleep, a lot of God time, a lot of time just to walk along the bay, San Diego, and not have any responsibilities whatsoever. The last 2.5 years have been 80 to 90 hour weeks for my wife, nonstop, no breaks whatsoever. But not just normal work, but of the most intense kind. My daughter had been in tremendous pain, skin ulcers that had come back, not bed sores, but skin ulcers, very painful, and severe fibromyalgia, and bedridden for 2 years, and all this diarrhea, and I mean, it was just a mess. She went to the hospital, and then 49 days after that. And there was great trials. She endured some unbelievable things that happened at the hospital. And in the future, maybe I'll share some of them with you with her permission. Or maybe I'll have her share them. And then she spent 3 weeks at a health center, not in the hospital, a place where you do intense physical therapy and occupational therapy. And today, this afternoon, for the first time, my daughter's 25 years old. She's lived with us all of her life. Today, she walked down the stairs of a dear couple from this church's home, where she's now going to be living with them, doing more physical therapy. First time, she walked down those stairs. And it was just an unbelievable thing. All these years of praying, all those tears. Did you know that in Psalms, the Bible says that God collects our tears in a bottle? You know what that means? What it means is, in a poetic way, the psalmist is saying, your sorrows matter so much to God that He puts a bottle under your cheeks and He collects those tears, and they're ever before Him. They matter to Him. Now, the hard thing for us as a human, and we're more than just a human, I don't know if you know this, we're children. No matter how old you get, you're a child to God. What we don't understand is, Lord, if I matter so much, how come you don't wipe my tears and stop what's making me cry? And that's where our faith comes in. That's where our faith comes in, and it's the hardest thing sometimes in the world to really believe that, God, you know life better than I do. I'll never forget. This last year was such a struggle for my daughter. Such a struggle. I'm talking about 2009. And my daughter is just like many other daughters, many other young women. You know, someday, Dad, I'd like to get married. Dad, who's going to want to marry me? And she was really, really doubting this. She'd been waiting on the Lord. My daughter's never dated. I'm not saying you're wrong if you did. I'm just saying my daughter never went down that road. And she kept trusting God. And it just seemed to get farther, farther, and farther, and farther, and farther away. And her body was just broken. And you have so many setbacks over these last 6 years. So many setbacks. So many setbacks. Unbelievable pain. Unbelievable sorrow. And through a set of bizarre circumstances, really, God brought, last September, a young man in our lives. But we had no idea what God was doing. The massage person who was helping my daughter because of her severe muscle tissue problems could not come. And the doctor at the hospital said, look, if you have someone who can come up here, why don't you have them? My son has a very good friend here at The Rock, my son Jeremy, who actually, my son had followed him up and driven him from college when he moved here and promised his mother in another state that he would look out for him. And he did. And so he called this young man and said, would you be willing to come up and help? And he said, sure. He's also a musician. My daughter's a musician. And so they would do massage therapy, music therapy, massage therapy, music therapy. Then she got out of the hospital and he started coming to our home. And, of course, we were always there. And we just became very close to this young man. And my daughter's thinking to herself, quite honestly, I'm a mess. I'm not even worried if anything's going to happen between me and this guy because I'm a mess. And it's obvious I'm a mess. We're talking, my daughter's a cosmetologist. My daughter loves hair. My daughter went almost 6 months without washing her hair. When we got to the hospital, they had to cut it all off. All her beautiful hair was gut-wrenching. She couldn't stand. She couldn't get in the shower. She was so weak, so much pain. So here she is, this guy's coming to the house, and she's just thinking, I'm just a mess. I'm a mess. Finally, January came. First week of January, one night in the evening, he walked it to my wife down in the kitchen. He said, Kathy, I'm in love with your daughter. A few days later, he told her, and then he asked me permission to court my daughter. So I, had to sit down with him through email. And not a bad sit down. I just felt really compelled that I needed to tell him how difficult this could really be, and that I can't afford her to have a broken heart on top of everything else. And that I just want to make sure you really think all this through. And I think it's awesome because I think the world of this young man. And today that young man helped move my daughter to this place where she's living. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. God's timing. Jessica simply wouldn't have even met him if she hadn't been sick. And yet all that time, I could have thought to myself, and I did, Lord, this is a curse in our life. This is a terrible thing that you've done in our life. And I still don't understand all the reasons. I'd be a liar if I said I understand all the reasons. I don't understand all the reasons. But I share this with you tonight, not to boast, because I really have nothing to boast about. I've been broken by this trial. But to tell you this, God, irrespective of you or I, or our small faith, God is faithful. God keeps His word. God does what He says He's going to do. God does it. And I'm so thankful to God for the thousands of people, and many of you in this room are part of that thousand, that have been praying and praying and praying and praying. There's still much to pray about. Much to pray about in your life. Much to pray about in others' life. Over this last several months, my son, my youngest son, he gets engaged, right? This happened to my first son as well. He gets engaged and he loses his job. Now, this is not an economy you want to lose your job in. And so I'm thinking to myself, Lord, woe is me. I admit that. Woe is me. Not only is my daughter suffering, Lord, but now I have the burden of the worry of my son who's engaged. This does not look good to future in-laws that my son has lost his job. And Lord, Jason just shared his story last week. And Lord, I have three friends that are very qualified that have been out of work for a year. Don't do this to my son, Lord. And I'm praying every day, I'm praying every day, I'm praying every day, I'm praying every day, I'm praying. He sent out at least 100 resumes. Send them out. And I'm a little bit like Elijah when he was praying for rain. He'd ask his servant, go see if there's a cloud. So I'd call Micah. Any leads? No. Any leads? No. Any leads? No. Stop asking, Dad. You know, that's kind of how you're starting to feel. And I'm praying. And I know it's testing their faith. Finally, one day he's over our house and he gets a call. They want to interview him on the phone. So he's out in the garage and sits in our van, does the interview. Then they want him in again the next week. Then they want him again the next week. Then we don't hear nothing for a couple weeks. We think it's over. His brother and I said, why don't you send an email? Just send an email. Just put yourself back in front of him again. And the lady wrote back, said, sorry, I haven't gotten back to you. Yeah, you're still a strong candidate. They had a fourth interview. They offered him the job. After a 2-month wait, I have friends that have waited a year and a half. And I don't know why God decided to do it in 2 months. But I could tell you tonight, story after story after story, real life stories that I've lived through. God, eventually, God will come through. Because He has to. See, He has to. Because He's God. And the important thing is you keep waiting. Don't give up. My daughter said to me one day, we were talking and she was right. I was trying to help her with something. And I admit I was a little frustrated this particular day. She looked at me with tears in her eyes and she said, Dad, at least I haven't quit. And that's what we're saying. That's what God's saying. That's what we do when we wait. We don't quit. We don't quit. We may have doubts. We may have struggles. It may be really hard. But we don't quit. We don't quit. We may feel strained from it all. We may feel exhausted from it all. These great men and women of faith right in here wrote, I'm exhausted from sobbing. Well, I thought they should just be trusting God. I thought the righteous always rejoice. Well, not always. But here's something the righteous don't do. They don't quit. They may go forward with tears. They may go forward bent over from sorrow. They may be in agony. Their throats may be parched from crying out to God. But the one thing they don't do, and you don't find any Old Testament, New Testament saint, they didn't quit. They kept waiting. And eventually, God came through. And I want you to know that eventually, I don't know what it is you're waiting for. I'm sure there are things that you're praying for. I'm sure there are things you're asking God for. Sometime, one way or another, God's going to come through. Father, we just thank you tonight that you're a God of wonders. You're a God who answers us with awesome deeds. You're a God who does things, Lord, in your tender mercy that we don't understand, but in your time and in your own awesome way, you come through for those who keep trusting you. Who keep trusting you, who don't walk away. And that's what Isaiah said. You come through for those who wait for you. I need your help, Lord, to keep waiting. There's many things still yet that I'm waiting for. In 35 years, there are still some things that I'm still trusting you for and been asking you for, and they still haven't occurred yet. They still haven't happened yet. But I thank you, God, that we have your very character. Faithfulness is your very character. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean on you. In Jesus' name, amen.